Hello and a warm welcome to yet another episode on the Mission Chunya podcast. Good to have you on the podcast today. Hope you are doing well. Wherever you are, take care of yourself and if possible, someone else too. Just as this episode goes live, we are having the COP26 getting underway in Glasgow. The event was scheduled for 2020 but due to the global pandemic, had to be rescheduled to this year, which also happens to be where Italy joins UK in hosting the formal proceedings. So on this episode, we take a little break, or rather, we take a little break from the usual conversations around a central theme, having a discussion with our guest, and we will just look at the major themes that are going to shape this COP, and probably look at the origins of COP, and why is it really important for COP26 to be successful. I am sure, as a regular listener, climate change is something that is of interest to you, and climate change is a big theme, big topic that is going to shape the future of the planet. So now let us look at what is COP26 all about. Before we get there, how did COP come about? How did Conference of Parties come into existence, and where did it all begin? So COP26, in fact 26 stands for the 26th Conference of Parties to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, that is in short UNFCCC. So this is the 26th time the big leaders from around the world are meeting to kind of get an act, get a policy legislation in place for acting on climate change. So this actually began when countries agreed to the international UNFCCC treaty in 1992. And from there, there was a consensus that countries from around the world should have a global collaboration in addressing climate change. Governments regularly meet from time to time, actually annually, to kind of forge and improve their climate plans and look at how they can bring all the countries together and have an equal weightage, have equity in place so that every country has an equal voice on the table. So for most part from 1992 till about 2010, 2012, there was always an opinion that we should have an obligation from the rich countries to kind of act on climate. But as we headed to the COP21 in 2015, there was kind of a consensus that every country has to come up with its own determined contributions to act on climate. So that's when INDCs came about. And that is one of the reasons why COP21 is considered to be a success, when all the countries agreed that we will act on climate and we will make equal contribution, or this is the contribution that we will make to act on it. So that was a major milestone that I'm sure you would have heard about it earlier, and COP26 is actually going to take COP21 and formally have a playbook. Actually, it's also called the Paris playbook, that all the countries are expected to kind of frame the action items and then act on it. So the big takeaway from COP21 was when all the countries agreed that we will try to limit the global warming to less than 2 degrees Celsius and preferably 1.5 degrees Celsius in reference to the pre-industrial levels. So it is not legally binding, as I said earlier, but it was a good target to have. Which, by the way, if you are looking at where are we now, we crossed the 1 degree Celsius in 2017. So in principle, we don't have much time. So that is one of the reasons that COP26 is really crucial. But just like every other COP that has happened before, as we lead up to this event, there are hits and misses with major countries not really making a commitment. In fact, every country was given an option to update their INDCs, but it has not happened. Like major countries like India has not updated its INDC or not stepped up its commitments to cut emissions. So there are hits and misses. We will have global figures who are going to attend, but there are global figures who said we are not going to attend. Like leaders from China, Russia are not going to be physically present in the event. So why are events like this really important? For one, it kind of gives clear policy directives to people and all major stakeholders involved, like for example, the industries, in terms of what are the actual objectives, what are the actual targets, and how are the individual stakeholders going to contribute to it. So be it like phasing out of internal combustion engines, shifting to electric vehicles, shutting down thermal power plants, and so on. It's good to have targets and objectives in place, and it's good to make sure every stakeholder in the value chain is made aware of it. So that is why events like this are really important. So what to watch out for in COP26? Well, the big thing is climate aid. So 12 years ago in Copenhagen, rich countries actually promised to kind of commit 100 billion a year by 2020. This has not happened, and it's only about 20 billion a year that is coming up to kind of act on climate mitigation and adaptation strategies and projects for the developing world and other countries who need this assistance. So there is a big hope that there is a formal commitment, and there is also a structure in place where this financing is better used by the other countries who need it. Then the second big point is around coal use. There is a big hope that countries actually commit to phasing out fossil fuel power plants and use of coal. Actually, the closest that we have come is China's pledge to kind of end building coal plants abroad. So there is actually no commitment on when they will phase out coal power plants in home territory, but this is the closest that has come. There is another expectation around coal use, so let's hope there is a strong commitment from big countries on that front as well. And of course, events like this will also throw up challenges in terms of who's actually going to be the major leader. So in 2015, the reasons COP21 was kind of a success was because of the leadership of France in kind of hosting the event and bringing all stakeholders on board. This time, there is again a huge expectation from the UK government to kind of deliver a successful event. UK has been preparing for it. And recently, just a few weeks back, UK released its strategy to get to net zero by 2050. Hopefully, leadership is also addressed. China, US, and probably UK, the European Union, and others step up and show some leadership caliber in terms of formulating strategies and action items by the end of the COP26. But even otherwise, COP26 has like four structural goals around mitigation, adaptation, finance, and collaboration. The big goal, I mean, in recent years has been to secure global net zero by mid-century and keep below 1.5 degrees Celsius. So there is expectations that other countries who have not committed to getting to net zero by 2050 or 2060 kind of use this platform, use this opportunity to make that commitment. So that is a big expectation. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, the Paris rulebook is another expectation from COP26. And working together, collaboration is another aspect that UK has been stressing in the lead up to this event. So mitigation, adaptation, finance, and collaboration are the four structural goals of this conference. In other words, it's all about coal, cash, cars, and trees. In kind of putting it in simpler terms of what is expected out of COP26. Action items around these: coal, cars, cash, and trees. When I say trees, it kind of relates to the carbon markets and how carbon markets are to be structured and how it has to play out globally. So how has the lead up to this event been? Well, the first very big progress positively has been the amount of people who are talking about COP and climate change. I mean, there is a significant number of people, significant number of stakeholders who are actually talking about COP and climate change compared to previous years. So even in the government level, the private sector level, and even in general public, the awareness is there. So there is a wider acceptance that it is the time to act on climate. Second, all the signatories under the Paris Climate Agreement have kind of updated their nationally determined contributions. But of course, few countries have to do that, but major countries have done. So that's another positive. And big countries have committed to net zero. Like recently, Saudi Arabia has committed to go to net zero, at least within their boundaries by 2060. There is no mention about what happens to the exports that they do. But that is a big positive. Similarly, Australia has done up to 2050. And UK, leading up to the event, has announced its plan, a big document around how it plans to get to net zero by 2050. So there are positives leading up to the event. So that is a big plus. Well, of course, there is literally scope for improvement because Climate Action Tracker, an organization that kind of looks at all the commitments made and then evaluates where we are headed, feels that we are headed for a 2.4 degree Celsius rise in temperature by end of the century. It's not the target that we intend to. So there is a lot of expectations from this conference. But nevertheless, it's good to have all the global leaders and negotiators back in the table after a 2-year gap. Especially all the major topics are going to be discussed after a 6-year gap since Paris. So it's good to have this conference happen. Like always, I tend to be optimistic about events like this. And optimism is a word, at least we have to believe, when leaders are coming together, hopefully there are strategies and action plans that are put in place at the end of the conference 2 weeks from now. So that was pretty much what I wanted to talk about in this podcast episode. It was meant to be all around COP26, what to expect, and why is it important for COP26 to be a success. All the big announcements and breaking news from COP26 will be shared on the social media channels of Mission Shunya. So follow Mission Shunya on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter. And I will be back in 2 weeks' time with a brand new episode, a conversation on Mission Shunya podcast. So feel free to subscribe. And if you like the podcast, please share it among your network, friends, family, colleagues. It just takes about 30 seconds. And if you want to leave me a feedback, you can again do that on any platform that you use. Or you can also send me an email, missionchunya@gmail.com. So with that, this is Girish Shivakumar signing off. And as always, thank you for listening.